Times have changed very quickly.
No, and the other side of it is, they do run the risk, and Muhammad Rafik brought this up. You know, whenever they try to pull a scam like this and consolidate, they often throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, Judaism as a religion and as a group, all Jews are being absolutely hammered by the fact that their holy men are doing backdoor deals for poverty-stricken people's bodily organs. I mean, what kind of monsters are these people? So, yes, this certainly damages that community, and hopefully it's going to take them down to their bloody knees. Why anybody in this world would follow a religion that even remotely could accept this kind of horse shit? Excuse my terrible language, but I mean, what else is there to say about ghouls going around stealing your body parts or trying to cheat you out of them? As Muhammad said, you know, hey, 10,000 here, and then all of a sudden the guy finds out 6 months later, as he's having trouble with his back because he lost a kidney, that the guy got 16 times more money than you got for the body part, and you are now sick and jaundiced and dying, and this guy, I mean, you know, you feel cheated, man. The guy took my body part and gave me tiddlywinks for it. But
yeah, but they have a script for it, Daryl. It's called the Talmud. They can, it's in the Talmud.
Yep.
They can take organs. I mean, this is going back, you know, 2,500 years. Maybe our buddy over there will remind us the exact year that the Talmud, the original parts of the Bible and the pieces that the rabbis have added on over the centuries, can rip off body organs from Gentiles, from Goyim, from us, the non-Jewish people, and that's accepted.
Because we're not humans. We're subhuman. We're a different species.
We're cattle and subhuman. So, I mean, there is a background to it. And I don't know, there's a lot more to this that came out, Daryl. I think it's more infighting with the Jews, because I think these Jews are not all aligned and they're infighting for all the shekels.
Very possible.
They can get. And, you know, they have their fingers in lots of cookie jars all over the place. But, you know, it's 3 million, 3 trillion, 1.5 quadrillion. I think this has been well covered under, you know, the Jewish media saying, you know, it's anti-Semitism now, and this, you know, was going on for 10 years, and then they were waiting on a rabbi's son that has been disowned for, you know, turning state's evidence getting these people convicted. Minor information, terrible that they, you know, they're dealing in organs. We need to know more about that. But there's a lot more going on. Where's Bernanke? Where's the other giant guy, Geithner? Where's
the old guy, Paulson, the last guy that just quit, Paulson from the Treasury, yeah.
Volkner, and yeah, go back. I mean, these guys, it's not just the current guys, it's the cabal. They're there to give information and advice and to do their little planning. Where's their communist little puppet, this Marxist guy, Obama? Communism seems to be, Daryl, the biggest movement in America at the moment.
Well, it is, because what's happening is they're, by imploding these companies. Now, here's a food for thought for the listeners. Why would a company like General Motors, knowing full well that they've already been through three major fuel crunches in the last 40 years, three major ones that almost bankrupted them because they were building cars that were way too big for the fuel efficiency, watching the world build small cars, they're building, throughout the 90s and into the 2000s, they're building SUVs and Hummers. Now, everybody and anybody with a brain, and I used to sit here and say to myself, why would anybody be caught dead driving a house down the freeway? I mean, a moron would have to want to drive a building down the freeway. And that's exactly what they convinced the American people they should be driving. And everybody with a brain knew something was rotten in Denmark with that. Well, here's what was wrong with it. They knew that when it came time to implode General Motors in the United States, all they would need to do is switch on that the fuel efficiency and the cost of these vehicles is ridiculous. And the only thing that this company produces is this garbage. And what did that not do. It made no clients, no customers for this company. They were instantly out of business. This was designed to be out of business so that immediately after that, that company could be taken over by the socialist communist model that is now in charge of that business, and many of the assets could be hived off and put in the hands of the crooks. And that's exactly what's taken place, and guess what else they got out of it? They got to write off all the pension responsibilities they have to the 50,000 workers. Now, this is a theft that was decades in the planning.
Oh, absolutely. Darryl, just I slightly differ on your take, especially about the SUVs. Now, you have the different SUVs, and I'll ask you a simple question. If you are, you know, a pop and mom out there and you have five kids, an SUV with seven places, and the original SUVs and the smaller European versions, if you have, you know, a mom and pop and five kids, you know, with the laws that they pass, you need a bigger car. So the SUVs are a certain...
Well, there's very few families these days, Noel, with five kids. Now, here's what was happening in the United States. Most people were driving down the California freeways in a big, huge SUV with only one person in the car, and that was the truth. And you could count them going down the highway in a train load, one after another, one person in the car heading down the freeway in a thing you could build a house inside of. And this is what they did with it. Now, I mean, five person families are almost non-existent these days.
Now, Darryl, it wasn't
in the 90s too.
Yeah, have you ever seen an extended Hummer? I mean, one that's, you know, a limousine size. I mean, the Hummers are insane. I think this is the bling effect that, you know, instead of wearing jewelry, you have the big, one of these war weapons. Absolutely not welcome in Europe. And now what they're trying to do, Darryl, in cities like in Paris and in Geneva, is they're talking about an SUV tax, another tax that people shouldn't be driving the SUVs, whether they should or they shouldn't. Maybe we should have one, you know, a single unit driving machine. Maybe we'll get into it. But what do you do when you have three kids or two kids or four kids? You can't buy a car with two seats.
Well, no, but they do sell these, Twingo, double door.
You need to have two cars, and that for most people isn't possible. You have
Oh no, they don't want you to have a car at all if you live in France. I mean, you know how hard it is to get a driver's license in this country? I mean, dude, you've got to save up for like years before you can even go take the test. It's unbelievable here. I mean, it's like you know, you're taking an exam for it to become a brain surgeon, to become a driver here. They don't want people doing that. They want you on their trolleys and trains. They want you tied to the system. They want to be able to stop you from moving and allow you to move whenever they want. They don't want freedom of movement of the people here. By proving that, I'm going to ask you, when you head south in towards Spain, how much money do you have to cough up, not only for the ridiculous price of the fuel, which is everywhere on the planet, but yet you're still paying $6 €6 a gallon for it in some places, €5 a gallon, and then stopping every 20 bloody kilometers to pay a massive fee to the auto route. By the time you go there and back, you've dumped a huge amount of money.
But I think it's about €60, Darryl. €40 will get you down most of the way. I think it's about €60 to go from Switzerland to Spain. It's about that. So on the toll roads, and they're not all...
Without the fuel.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, without the fuel. Absolutely without the fuel. This is just to go on the motorway.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, see, this is the model that they tested this criminal travel model out here in France first, and now it's going to be in America. They're turning every American highway into a toll road. Now, here's the sickening thing about this toll road crap. The American people already paid for those roads. Those roads were built with their tax money. Now, they're going to get double charged. What they're going to do is make them pay for the roads to go on them after they paid to have them built.
Well, you know, one of the old arguments, Darryl, especially, you know, if you're heading down the autoroute de Soleil, the one you were talking about, heading the south of France, you know, heading down towards Spain, most times you drive down there and it's, you know, you can go good speeds and it's fine, and then all of a sudden when the people that paid for it want to go on, you have like yesterday, this weekend in France,
Black Saturday.
Black Saturday. I mean, you can't go anywhere. So
do you know how far? Wait a minute. I'm going to let the people fill in on a secret. And this isn't even one of the worst ones. Do you know how long the tailback was on this Autoroute Sud? It was 200 kilometers long yesterday.
Well, I heard at one stage it was 182 at one stage, or officially on television 182. So, but Darrell, my point is that it's taxes paid by the majority of the people, and at the time that the majority of the people want to move, they can't, and they're in, you leave on a Black Saturday or an Orange Friday or a Red Sunday or whatever they want to call. So you pay all year, like the majority of people. This is communism. You work all year to get your 2 weeks holidays, and you line up, you buy your diesel or your petrol. You pay to get on the... They usually get you to around the big conglomerates. You have to actually pay for the first one. They have a little small motorway that brings you up to the bigger one. You pay in advance, €2.90. They bring you up, then you queue up again. They give you a ticket, and then you go down, and it's a zigzag, and you don't move. So your two-week holiday that you've worked all year, you pay your taxes, you can't even use these roads.
I've
seen it, Darrell. I've seen it. I've been in these traffic jams.
Me too.
And, I have a friend, very good. My partner did it the other day. A 40-minute ride was 3 hours, 2 hours, nearly 3 hours for a 40-minute ride. It's the frustration, and they try to bring up amusements. At least, the motorways, there are places you have to stop and you have to learn how to drive on a motorway when there's in traffic. You can't come out and say, well, what's going on, and they drive you, and they'll drive you insane. But it's programming, Darrell.
They don't want you to travel, Noel. They don't. If they did, the system wouldn't. They wouldn't be doing this to everybody, but they are. And here's the last subject I really want to. I want to cover this because I think it's important. Recently, of course, I put a little blurb on the site about my Microvero, and I had people contact me, and some people stopped contacting me because I said what I said. Well, I'm going to give everybody a little heads up on old Mr. Rivero here and what my take is. I've always suspected that he was a person who feared you from being effective in action for a long time. I thought this for a long time. But here's the rub. Anybody that has looked at the evidence on the Pentagon knows full well that a 757 loaded with passengers and baggage and full of seats did not hit that building. Right. There was no airplane engines that were found. There was no hole big enough in the wall. There were no seats or baggage found inside. There were no body parts detected by the search animals. There were photographs of these things after the fact. And so basically we know that a 757 passenger jet did not hit that building. What speculation has been a Global Hawk or a missile or all these other things. I don't know what it is, but I certainly know what it wasn't. And it wasn't a passenger jet. The other thing is that when I mentioned that I had serious doubts about the veracity of the reports that came back from NASA's report to the moon. Now, let's all ask ourselves one question. NASA, a government, a U.S. government agency, but the U.S. government never lies to its people, so why wouldn't I automatically believe them? Because I've never had my government lie to me. But let's go even further. Mr. Rivero worked for these people for 20 years, worked in the video department of this organization where a couple of days earlier he put a photograph on the front of his site. When you opened up that photograph and looked at it, because you could zone in on certain parts, the lamb's shadows were going to the right, the astronaut's shadows were going to the left, and the person taking the photograph, which you could see a shadow of that going straight ahead. So this thing had stage lighting all over it. Then, worse than that, the lamb sitting there onto the right had no dust on its pedestal. If you came out of the sky traveling from 400,000 miles from Earth and then set your retro rockets to land on the moon, you'd have thrown up and kicked up mountains of dust. It would have been covering every part of that space vehicle. There was not a single bit of dust. Not only that, Noel, at the time they were using conventional film. They did not have electronics that would take a picture and hold it in some sort of electronic state. They were using developable film that we all use down on Earth here, Kodachrome film, which gets exposed in a radiation environment. And the sun is full of UVA, UVB, and gamma rays that would have exposed that film. So the simple fact of the matter is, Alex Jones brings on a guest and tries to say that anybody who thinks that way is crazy, but yet he wouldn't take any questions about any of it. He said, "I won't answer any of those questions," he tells Alex Jones. But Alex Jones then starts fawning all over him. "Yes, but I know all those people are crazy." So I know Alex Jones is a liar. I know that Mike Rivero supports him. I know he worked for NASA, and I also know he's a Murano Jew by his own admission. And I also know that the guy told people that the truth about the Pentagon. He says that if you believe that the Pentagon was not hit by an airliner, then you're a government Comtel pro. And for me asking these questions, he directs this kind of criticism against me, when in fact this guy stinks to high heaven, and he's a rotten, no good, treason shill, and that's what I'm calling him today on this radio show. You can quote me on it. You can call him out on it. The guy is a crap bag of shill, lying, treasonous dog meat, and that's exactly what this man is, in my view. How's that one?
Darrell, listen, I'd like, for once, one of these people to actually say Darrell Bradford Smith is this and then give reasons instead of saying, you know, that guy in France. Rivero, I have a different, I know what you're saying. I take it in consideration. I don't know the guy, never spoke. I've had one or two emails with him. He's put up my audio on his site. Maybe he understands, maybe he doesn't. But you've been right in the past, Darrell. I'm open-minded, not trying, you know, just, at the moment, you know, where I'm in talking to maybe a very potential guest that would be well up on, you know, something like the Holocaust. And, you know, it gets down to me, Darrell, that as I progress, I've talked about the Holocaust. 6 million is a Talmudic number rather than, you know, but the number is irrelevant. Am I prepared to do 5 or 6 years in prison and go to court? I wouldn't do it. All these people died before I was born, before my old man ever thought of me. I'm looking, you know, more to the future. I know these issues are, you know, Darrell, you know, you're in one of the countries as well, you know, Holocaust denial is, you know, they put you in prison.
They will, yep.
I've talked about it, don't believe it, but that's my personal opinion. I'm not going to go harass people on the street. So, you know, it was 5.9 million or, you know, it was 2 million or, you know, whatever the number was. Personally, I don't believe we landed on the moon. I don't believe 6 million is the number. I don't believe, or I believe in this and I believe in that on my own personal opinions. Some of them I feel strongly about, and I'll try to persuade others, especially my own family, that, you know, we need to be careful. And it's all about whatever you learn is about how you use the information that you have accessed. Do you really understand it, and how you're going to use it? And, you know, I'm not going to go and spend 5 years in a gulag in Germany because of some people I don't know. I have my own very personal opinions about it. And it's not something that I think we need to really look forward or look to the future, Darrell. And some of these incidents that are politically incorrect may be some of the reasons that people don't mention things. But this is what we need to break down.
Well, the last thing.
Correctness.
Well, the last thing I hold the jury in front of the jury with is Mike Rivero's blind obedience to Alex Jones, and that is the pièce de résistance. That is the coup de grâce, and nothing.
The money thing. It could be the money.
Well, money, shmoney. No, because the guy's already supposedly a millionaire, and guess where he gets his money from? He does special effects for Hollywood. So, you know, who's he working for? Spielberg? Who knows? The simple fact of the matter is, this guy's got as many dirt marks on his resume than anything I've ever seen. And the fact is, you know something, he comes out and says that if anybody's looking into Obama's background on his birth certificate, which I don't know if it's true or not. I frankly, I have not taken a stand on whether that whole thing is a nonsense or not. But he comes out and says anybody who looks into to Obama's veracity as a standing president is working as a Comptel pro, he says. And he puts this in a post that he writes himself. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, hold on a minute. Wait a minute here. This is standard stuff coming from our old buddy Mike. And you know what? I've been giving him a pass too long. And I had suspicions about this guy 5 years ago, and I said stuff about him then that made, you know, because I had too many suspicions. You know what? He's been a consistently deceptive man about a lot of important issues and moves people away. Has this guy ever been effective at bringing about any movement against this mess? Now, granted, he puts a lot of stuff out on his site, but so does Jeff Rentz. And Jeff Rentz talks about Bigfoot and crop circles and moon cities and all this other nonsense, which he's a different kind of deceiver. He's a different kind of nonsense spinner like a George Norrie is. You know, let's talk a little bit about truth and then blow everybody's mind with my electrical brain is creating a battery on the earth so that we can all communicate with each other in some cosmic sense. And this is the kind of crud that Cordola, that he puts on his radio show, and then he puts good stuff on there mixed in with it. And so, and then he'll actually support the contentions about whether it be the Holocaust or other things, and then he says the guy is all over the map with nonsense, and he's not bringing a cohesive message to fight. What he's doing instead, in my view, is getting people to sit there and spin around in circles, and it's the same darn thing that I see this guy Rivero doing. And you know what? We don't need to spin in circles right now. We need people to start taking substantive and positive actions toward moving against these people's plans that they have for us in the very near future. And I don't see those things happening from Rivero, from Jones, from Tarpley, from Rentz. I don't see it happening, period, from these people. And we get on these radio broadcasts, we get on the forum, we write about this stuff, we push our work as far out into the public as we can, and we don't get the right traction because these people are keeping us blocked. And Jones has always blocked me, and Rentz has always blocked me, and so has Rivero blocked me. And I can go down the list. And then who does he get writing for him but Bajerky Knees over there, starting to buddy up with Rentz and with Rivero? I mean, my God, how hard is it for people to see this stuff? Check the stuff I put out. If I make a mistake, I admit it. If I don't, I admit that too. You know something? The fact of the matter is, Noel, we've always had a credibility if you look into what we say. I've never been called out as a liar because I've been able to show that I've been consistent with the message. My message is the same as it was 3 years ago when everybody was calling me a crazy man.
Well, just like to, you know, to affirm to listeners, Daryl has said it many years ago, and I was listening forever, converse with Daryl. He's not the easiest person to get on with. I can guarantee you he has his ideas, very focused, pure play. Some of them I agree with, some of them, you know, he needs to explain to me, some of them I still disagree with. But he has a track record, and, you know, you go back to the audios, and, you know, I'm not going to disagree with him because I've learned from past experiences that, you know, it's not what's said in that one audio or in one phrase, but it's a general listen to the audios over the years to get the sense where we're going to, which is an urgency. I didn't know that Bjerknes was working with Rentz now. He called me an agent. This guy apparently wrote that I was an agent. So he's written...
Well, first he said you weren't even Irish.
No, that was Hufschmidt. That was another another time. But someone sent me an email that he's now saying you're an agent for whom? I have no idea. I'm an agent for, I don't know, I'm for myself and my family and the people around me are more important. And if we can wake a few people up, but call me an agent. I don't get it. For whom? Mossad, Sinn Bet, my Irish connections. And if Rentz is going to associate with him, I'd be. You know, that's not a good direction. which time calendar we're on at the moment, the 6,000 year of this other Jewish sect or this other Jewish name that I never heard, I read, is nonsense. It's not what we need to hear about now, unless it gives us the end date, you know, plus 24 years or minus 24 years, and then he'll say, well, you know, I told you about that in my blog on 7th of January or the 2nd of August 2009, I wrote something about it, because he keeps doing that, which is really annoying. Instead of saying what he wants to say clearly, I refer you back to something, and you get lost. That'd be very worrying. We need people to become more pure play.
Well, what Rents has been putting Tarpley on for years, and guess who else he puts on, Noel, just as a kicker here. He's had this guy that I had him on my show four or five times. In fact, I was the one who worked at getting his information out the best, until one day I woke up to this guy not being on the level. I just knew something was wrong with him. And this was back in my RBN days. This was this guy, Henry Nyman. And Henry Nyman is the guy who says that vaccines are going to save us from this bird flu nonsense. And you go back, and he's a major interviewee on Rents, and Rents supports his work 100%. And I'm going to tell you something. This guy is an Israeli Zionist Jewish-connected Scripps Institute criminal. And Rents is all over this guy like a new suit. And
when did you interview this guy?
I am right back in my RBN days. Some of my oldest...
205. So people can go on amthewitness.com and go to Henry Nyman and find audios.
That's right. Should be still up there. I mean, we did. When Eric was cutting stuff off the site and it got lost off archives, I ended up asking people to send me back in the archives, and I'm hoping that the Nyman stuff is still up there. It should be.
I think it is actually. I think I had a look. We spoke about this several months ago about Henry Nyman, because I hadn't heard the name. And I think I have downloaded it, so it should be up on the site.
Rabbi Moneymaker was his partner out of Israel. I mean, come on. Now, this is before. Now, I didn't even realize when I had this guy on that our enemy was Zionism. I didn't even know. And I was, my learning curve really advanced right around the time I woke up to Nyman's nonsense, is when I discovered, and part of my waking up was when I discovered Carol Valentine's site. And when I had so many questions after reading, with people like Nyman and what had happened and all this other stuff, and people were telling me, including, and I have to say this honestly, including Hufschmidt was telling me, you have to look at Zionism. He told me that frankly in 2005, and my brother had told me this, and finally, I had a chorus of people telling me, look at the Lubavitch, look at this and that, and then I found Carol Valentine, and when I found that site, I read the whole thing one night. I went through every document on her site, and at the end of my reading, I said, I have found the truth. And from that day till this, I have been singularly efforted toward exposing world Zionism and criminal Judaism, because I know the truth when I see it in front of me. I don't have lying eyes once they're open. And my eyes were opened by Carol Valentine. From that day to this, I have been singularly minded at researching out the criminal element within that group. And I have found so much dirt that it's a shocker. And the fact is, I never again did another interview with Henry Nyman, because I knew clearly something was wrong with that guy. And now, in hindsight, I know the guy's a Zionist criminal shill working for a company called Scripps Institute, which is one of the people who developed vaccines for us all to kill us. And here's the worst kicker of all of it. This guy Rents endorses Henry Nyman as the spokesperson about H1N1 and H5N1. This is the guy, his go-to guy. You want to trust this guy again? 7,000th in the world. What is wrong with people? 5,000th in the world for Jones. What is wrong with these people? Something wrong with these people. They're brainless. They're morons. I can't believe that they're still following these liars. It's astonishing to me, Noel. You know what? All the work you and I do, all the work good people do that listen
it's
to these programs.
It's frustrating, Daryl. It gets frustrating.
Oh, yeah, it does.
When you look back into it that you've already said it years ago and people aren't picking up on it. But I think, Daryl, we are getting some momentum. I think that we are getting a lot of, on the infounderground.com, we're getting a lot of new members
yep.
that are outraged, Daryl. But we don't want, you know, I go through the, it's me, I affirm and or delete new signings. I get 100 a day. It's a real pain, Daryl, to go into, click this, click that, and you get in and I have names, three or four pages of names with Pukey Pukey and Dicky Dicky and Mickey Mickey, and I have to do I usually use a form called stopforumspam.com, very useful IP address, email or username, and it takes time, and we're up now to 100 signings a day, Daryl, which I have to go and verify some of them, which is time consuming.
Yep.
Really annoying. We're not looking for numbers. No big movement has ever gone with the numbers.
Quality over quantity, I know it.
But 3%, Daryl, 3% is what we're looking for to get some mass movement. We're looking for a world movement, Daryl, because we need 3% everywhere. We need absolutely 3% everywhere. We never get 100. You know, Jones is waking up everybody. More luck to him. If you listen to his archives, he's a liar. I know he's a liar. I wouldn't believe anything he says, although he does put out some stuff. He's a liar. He's working for them or... knowingly or unknowingly, I think I call him Hollywood Jones. Personally, I call him Hollywood Jones. Hollywood is owned by the Arabs, Daryl. I mean, come on, Daryl. He's done the research. I mean, you can go onto YouTube and say, Arabs own Hollywood. I didn't say that. But Arabs own Hollywood. He said it, not me. So,
it must be true if he said it, right?
But everything, he's done the homework. He's done the research.
Yeah. And what else do the Arabs own? They must have bought all of our newspapers, too, and they must have bought all the medical associations and the drug companies.
You look into the Arabic countries in Saudi, they're trying to prop up the markets. They're after building a tower that's a kilometer high, the highest building in the world, and they're going to do another one in one of these other little British-divided states, these little parts of the jigsaw that the British decided to split. The Israel has been circulating for the last couple of weeks a very famous photo from 1941 of Hitler and the Grand Mufti from 1941. But what they didn't say that this Grand Mufti, just the big Mufti, the big guy, was selected a British Mufti when they were carving the place up and whatever. But Israel are going low. We still have 1.5 million people that are suffering, more than 1.5 million people that are suffering as we speak.
Well, they're menacing Lebanon right now and Iran, and if these people use the kinds of weapon systems that they've developed in the United States and perfected in Israel, we're talking just a single attack will kill tens if not hundreds of thousands of individuals in a single night, and they've still got they're still coveting the Latani River water, and they're still coveting control over the Persian Gulf region, and they've got their subs there, and who knows what kind of craziness they'll do. That Samson option is if they're going to get exposed worldwide, they'll create mayhem and nonsense to bring us all down with them. There's no doubt.
Well, these are the kind of treacherous times, and we've different parts of the world where people think, the Cold War is breaking out again, the Russians and the Americans, the Kajikis are giving a second base to the Russians, immaterial to the bankers' plans. So it's all got to do with these quadrillions. Well, we might as well give it a real number. We're fighting for survival here, otherwise it's serfdom. We'll all be in a concentration camp, and then they said, now we tell you what a concentration camp is. But even when you look at the concentration camps, a lot of the head guys were Jewish.
Not only that, these people had they had whorehouses on in those places, movie theaters. They had a doctor's office on board, a post office.
Swimming pool.
They even were printing their own in camp internal money in some of these places. So there's a whole story that hasn't been told on that. But here, we've got to call this a show because the recording that I'm doing is reaching the end of its juice. on my system here. I'm running out of space on this thing, and I'm watching it leak out in front of me, Noel. So, but we've done it over an hour and 12 minutes here, and I'm very grateful for your time. You know, you and I, you're a friend, Noel. You're a confidant. You're a good guy, man. I got to tell you something. A lot of the things I do on a daily basis wouldn't be possible without your help. I mean, really, I got to be honest with you on that, and I thank you for that.
Well, Darrell, you know, and thanks for having me on again. I'm sacked up. I'm another week, and I'm going to be on holidays. But I plan on using my holidays this year to do a little bit of more research. Have a few more guests on. We have 2nd of October, an alarming date coming up
Ireland. Yeah. Yeah,
which you know, represents 500 million people. We'll get on to the next show. Darren, thanks for having me on.
I thank you again, my friend Noel. That's Ogner from The Info Underground. The Info Underground, one word, .com, theinfounderground.com. Sign up for his forum. May take a little time. Be patient with it. But until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, please take care of your families. It's very important that you do that. Provide for them in these upcoming crises, and be beacons of strength for them. Be quiet. Qualitative in your morals and in your mindset for them. And until the next time, this is Darrell Bradford-Smith telling you all, please, be well. Bye-bye now.